Welcome to Appaloosa Radio, where stories come alive. Appaloosa Radio is a service of the Appaloosa Springs Audio Theater.
Radio offers one armed guitar player, an audio story.
The morning fog had begun to lift around the pier, and the weekend tourists were starting to leave their hotel rooms for a day at the beach. The one-armed guitar player opened his guitar case and carefully removed his Les Paul Deluxe 3EX model from its well-padded home. He put one foot on the small bench and then rested the instrument on his knee. Some would say that it was remarkable that he could do so much with only his left arm, but for him the routine was ordinary. He held the guitar close to his chest with his chin and then fastened the strap. Once the guitar was secure, he lowered his foot to the ground and stood erect, checking to make certain that everything was comfortable. It was time to begin his daily show. He plugged the guitar to his battery-powered amplifier. Speaking softly to his guitar, he said, "Time, my sweet, for beautiful music." He began a soft jazz riff matching his mood and the weather. Technically, he was not performing on the pier. The city could fine you $75 for doing that. He was not even on city property. He had a small wooden bench and a parking stall next to the world-famous Oyster restaurant. The owner welcomed him. His music brought ambience to the place, and it cost the owner nothing. And how many places feature a one-armed guitar player? He played only his own original music, composed spontaneously at that very moment, as ephemeral as the fog on the pier.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you were to ask him, he would deny that he had any role in creating the music. It was, he said, entirely what the guitar felt. I only strum the strings. The instrument itself creates the music, the magical web of chords. Not me. I am the very junior member of this team. Still, it was his hand that bled from the long hours playing soft jazz in the parking stall next to the world-famous Oyster restaurant. It was his face that burned from too many hours in the sun. They were his legs that ached from standing erect in the same location, until all the tourists had returned to their cozy hotel rooms. The guitar had the easy part, his was so much more demanding. The man with no memory and no past walked by, stirred by emotion from the music. Had he heard this music someplace before? He seemed to remember an officer's club, a place where young army lieutenants go to brag and make exaggerated claims of victory before they are shipped off for actual combat in some unnamed war. Could he have been such an army lieutenant? Rum and Coca-Cola, Jim Beam on the rocks, Cuervo with a beer chaser. There was a guitar player. Yes, I believe he was playing a Les Paul model. Someone was singing into a microphone. It was some song about a cheating woman. Probably country western. Lots of twang. Very Texas. Lots of twang. The man with no memory and no past remembered that he knew the soldier playing the Les Paul guitar. Yeah. Corporal Watkins. He played in a band that performed on Friday nights at the officers' club. He remembered that he knew Corporal Watkins. He didn't know any of the other musicians in the band. They must have been from other units. Not the one he led. Corporal Watkins was one of his. He played in the officers' club. Sang songs about cheating women. Sounded twangy. Like Texas. Things had begun to fog up. An intense yellow fog. He often experienced such fogs. Had he analyzed it, he would have realized the yellow fog emanated within him. Not from outside on the pier. The fog, the intense yellow fog was rolling in. Obliterating visibility, draining memory. He could smell it. Feel its dampness. He knew it was coming toward him. Soon, it would blanket him completely. The man with no past and no memory had a transitory rational thought, just before the fog arrived. This guy with only one arm. That guy is not playing country western. Jazz. Not twangy. Nor is he singing. Not the same. Different. The man with no past and no memory walked on. On the pier, the actual wooden cement pier, the sun had broken through. It would be a beautiful day at the beach. The kind of day that brought many tourists, some of whom would stop and listen to the music performed by the one-armed guitar player. some of whom would also drop dollar bills into his instruments case. It was never much. On a really good day, it might be $90, but on most days, it was much less. Some weeks, like those when the motorcycle groups came en masse to the pier, it would be $30 to $40 for the whole week. He once thought about quitting, but the guitar, the Les Paul Deluxe 3EX, would not let him. Shaped like an inverted white. The one-armed guitar player played at the world-famous Oyster restaurant on the rightmost edge of the Y. On the leftmost edge of the Y was a larger grassy area that the city called Portside Park. Some musicians were allowed to perform in the park, particularly Johnny Imhal, the park's unofficial mayor. No one had elected him, but he got along well with the police officers who patrolled the area on their electric scooters, and he had even once had a rather pleasant conversation with the real mayor, the one elected by the voters. Johnny Imhal was a large man, with dark skin and a bald, shaved head and a strong, black beard. He wore a long, white robe and handcrafted leather sandals. He spoke with an affected Caribbean accent. What no one knew was that Johnny Imhal had been an assistant engineer with the Department of Transportation, designing culverts and bridges. He gave the career up to play drums in Portside Park. As the unofficial mayor of the park, Johnny Imhal organized the musicians and their performances. He had determined that each musician was to be granted only 15 minutes each hour to perform. The Peruvian flute player would begin things at the top of the hour. Then, at quarter past, the Cajun accordionist. Then, at half past, it was Johnny Imhal's turn, followed by the electric violinist. If one of the regular performers was absent, Johnny Imhal filled that slot with whatever newly arrived musicians might have come to the park seeking to perform. Johnny Imhal was insistent that only one performer at a time be allowed to play in the park. The police supported his decision. Johnny Imhal himself played what he called an Asian African fusion of drums. He had a collection of wooden African drums and a pair of large Chudaiko Japanese drums. His performance was dominating. He kept a strong rhythmic beat on the large Daiko drums, while adding melodic elements from the various African drums. After his 15-minute concert was over, crowds applauded and then dropped many $5 bills into his handcrafted wooden vessel. The mayor of Portside Park did quite well. Thank you.
Thank you.
The man with no past and no memory wandered down side streets, and then, finally into a dead-end alley. There the yellow fog became so intense that he no longer knew where he was. Where? How did I get here? How can I get out? Hey, buddy, the police officer on the electric scooter sternly said. What are you doing there? That's private property. The officer was convinced that the man with no past and no memory had come down the alley to defecate. He was determined to prevent it. There are public restrooms up by the pier. Use those to do your business. Defecating on a public street is a fine of $150. The police officer stared at the man with no past and no memory, not sure what to do next. Get going. You don't belong back here. The yellow fog lifted slightly. The man with no past and no memory could now discern which way led out of the alley. He sauntered away, but the police officer did not follow him. It was mid-afternoon when the man with no past and no memory heard the massive guns firing. Howitzers, he thought. And close by. Why didn't me warn us? Why didn't they say we would be under fire? Could have prepared a defensive stand. His assignment was to move the detachment up the ravine. Trucks and Humvees, supported by heavy infantry. Up the ravine and then take the high ground. Consolidate. Take the high ground and consolidate. Sir, incoming. Howitzers. Big guns. Why didn't they tell us that we would be under fire? Could have prepared. It was mid-afternoon when the man with no past and no memory believed he had heard the massive guns firing. He had no wristwatch, so he did not know that it was now 3:30. Time for Johnny M. Mal's hourly performance. The large Japanese Chudaiko drums reverberated across all of Portside Park. A wind came up and the gulls returned to claim the beach, signaling to the beachgoers that it was time to ascend the stairs and to return to their hotel rooms. Coolers and children were gathered, beach towels were shaken in their sand, and the migration began. An hour ago, the beach was filled with weekenders. Now only a handful of surfers remained. The man with no past and no memory descended the stairs cautiously. He signaled his troops to remain silent. He could sense that danger was close at hand. He did not want to tip his hand. Silence was essential. Coming from far above, he could hear the sound of the howitzers again. Modern warfare was not so modern. Troops still had to move in and seize targets the old-fashioned way, by intense hand-to-hand combat. The man with no past and no memory wanted his troops to be ready for the coming fight. He knew it would be fierce. The enemy would not give ground quickly. The target would have to be taken. Warriors battling warriors. As the crowd of beachgoers moved up the stairs and back across Portside Park, Johnny Imhal decided it was time for the last performance of the day. This time, he would send everyone home with a literal bang. When he reached the crescendo of his performance, when the large Japanese chudaiko drums thumped their very loudest, echoing across the park, he set off a series of rockets, discharging the fireworks toward the now nearly empty beach. The crowd stopped its march homeward, watched the performance, and cheered. Soon Johnny Imhal's handcrafted wooden vessel was full of $5 bills, even a few tens. It had been a good day for the unofficial mayor of Portside Park. The man with no past and no memory signaled for his troops to take shelter behind the pillars of the pier. They would remain sheltered, he decided, until the big guns stopped firing. Then, they would strike. Quickly. Silently. Efficiently. He saw the rockets arc above him. RPGs, he thought. After his last daily performance, Johnny Imhal would always descend the stairs to the beach, drop his robe, and, in his bathing suit, go for a short ocean swim. It relaxed him, made him ready for his evening activities. Just before Johnny Imhal entered the water, he caught sight of a man rushing toward him, coming directly at him, running at full speed. Johnny and Mal turned to view the man's face. It appeared treacherous, dangerous, fearful, running right at him at full speed. The man with no past and no memory knew the success of his mission required complete surprise. The enemy must not know what was coming. His troops must reach the target before they were discovered by the enemy. Stealth was essential. Then, he spotted a sentry guard. If the sentry guard discovered them, he could sound an alarm and alert the enemy. The man with no past and no memory did not stop to analyze the situation. He acted alone. He acted decisively. He would silence the sentry guard before he could sound the alarm. Silence him quickly. Silence him quietly with no perceptive noise. He charged, at maximum speed toward the sentry guard. The situation could have been treacherous, but fortunately Johnny M. Mal had played football while in college, and he instinctively knew how to avoid a tackle. As the fast-moving man neared, Johnny and Mal changed direction and moved quickly away. The man did not stop his charge, continued at full speed in his original direction until he reached the water. Then, he fell, and the waves broke. Waves, the salty, noisy, crashing waves. Until the first wave broke over him, he had been overwhelmed by the intense, yellow fog. He had no rationality, only fixation. Fixation on a mission that existed only in his mind. The rhythmic crashing waves had drained the yellow fog from his mind. Rationality returned. He spoke to himself. No, this was not the enemy. No, it was Private Burns. I remember, he again said to himself in a more rational voice, sending the private ahead to check if there was another point of entry to the target. Obviously, Private Burns had tried to swim in. Otherwise, he would still be in uniform. He allowed another wave to crash over him and then stood up. Sorry, I didn't recognize you at first. So, tell me, is there another way in? The friendly greeting meant that the man with no past and no memory no longer posed a direct threat to Johnny M. Mal. Still, this was a very confused individual. Johnny M. Mal decided to forego his daily ocean swim and return quickly to the park. This guy could be dangerous. Better to leave now. He would tell his buddies, the city police officers who rode the electric scooters, about him. Johnny M. Mal put his robe back on and climbed the stairs to immediately pack his drums for their trip back to his home. one-armed guitar player opened his guitar case and carefully repacked his Les Paul Deluxe 3EX into its well-padded home. It was getting colder, and the crowds had gone. He had earned only a single dollar in the last hour of his performance. Playing soft jazz did not earn what the large Japanese Chudaiko drums did. As he packed up to leave, the man with no past and no memory appeared again in the parking lot, for the world-famous Oyster Restaurant. The guitar player remembered him from this morning. However, this time, the man was acting differently. Less crazy. More rational. It surprised the guitar player when the man spoke. "I have to know. Were you one of my men? One of my men in the war?" The guitar player shook his head but did not speak. "One of my men, Corporal Watkins, played a Les Paul guitar. He played in a band that performed on Friday nights at the officers' club." The guitar player again shook his head but still did not speak. "Corporal Watkins was hurt badly when an IED took out the truck he was driving." Still, the guitar player did not speak. "Sorry, but I have to know. Are you Corporal Watkins? Were you injured during the war?" Finally, the guitar player spoke. He knew that the Les Paul Deluxe 3EX would want him too.
"No, not in any war. Lost my arm in an industrial accident. In Milwaukee. Never in the army. Never in any war."
"Good. Thank you. I needed to know."
"Sure, man. We all got our demons. Mine's better when I play."
"Have a good evening, young man."
"Sure."
The man with no past and no memory moved away. Down a side street. Up another. Then onto the main road. It was now dark, and the fog was beginning to roll in. He was alone and unnoticed. The city police officers had parked their electric scooters for charging. The tourists had returned to their cozy hotel rooms. Johnny M. Mall was at his girlfriend's place, playing with her dog. The one-armed guitar player was in his tiny camper van, where he warmed a can of tamales on his camp stove. The day's take had been only $37. His rent at the RV park was due in 3 days and he was still $50 short. The man with no past and no memory walked down the highway 2 or 3 more miles. Finally, he came to an overpass. He crawled up under its bridge. Maybe tonight the yellow fog would stay away, and he could sleep. Thank you.
Appaloosa Springs Audio Theater is a creative collaboration whose purpose is to write, produce, and share original story content through webcast radio experiences.
Appaloosa Radio offers One-Armed Guitar Player, an audio story, music performed by Tommy Edwards and Andrew Marlin, taken from their YouTube channel. Voices produced by Amazon Polly.